First of all, I hope you had a really lovely Thanksgiving. I know that my family enjoyed a time of gathering with family. Sometimes that can be wonderful. Sometimes it's hard, right? Or sometimes we're apart from people that we wish were there, that we remembered times when they were with us, that we long that they would be able to join us back again, but we're separated because of circumstance or relationship or estrangement even. That for many of us, it is an opportunity to kind of reflect on what we have been given and how we have been blessed, but also there's a little bit of pain in the midst of all that. And then, you know, sometimes that blessing comes with a little bit of a hard edge, too. I think we've all kind of walked through those jokes these last few days. We had a good Thanksgiving this year, but we have also had really hard ones, too, in my family. So when I look at moments like this, I know that there are opportunities in that gratitude to recognize some things. One of the people that I'm grateful for is a man who turned out to be a great mentor and spiritual guide and really one of my closest friends. And I've mentioned to him to you before. His name is David. David Canada was a United Methodist pastor. He's retired now. He's also a colonel in the United States Army and was a chaplain for many, many years. I have a soft spot for Army chaplains, for military chaplains for sure. Now, one of the things that David would say to me, and then I watched him kind of like say this to other people in my circle, and then, you know, we would have lunch together, and he would kind of remind people of this, the person who was bringing our lunch to us, he would say, "You take care of yourself, because you're precious." Now, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you kind of know the whole idea. Yeah, I figured. So, not that kind of precious, okay? If you are using the word precious, sometimes it seems like a term certainly of endearment, but also one of fragility, right? Oh, isn't she precious, maybe? It could be used as a slight, even. But he did not mean it in that way whatsoever. You know, the idea of precious can also mean rare and very valuable. When we say, when we talk about gold or silver, we're talking about precious metals, right? These are things that we don't necessarily have common access to, except if we're going to put a lot of resources into that. Gold is used for amazing things and is valued because of, you know, some of its strength. So preciousness for David was a way of blessing the person to say, you know what, you are very valuable. You're valuable, certainly, in the eyes of God, so much so that God would enter into our world for our good, right? The very essence and center of God's heart in Jesus Christ would come into this world, would come into the mess of this world and be with us. And that is because we're so good, right? That is because we've checked all the boxes, we've done all the things, and we've been completely sinless as we've lived our life, right? Right? No, not right. Wrong. Pay attention, okay? For that kind of lack of attention and other things, God still loved us in spite of those things. And that is because of the dear connection between our hearts and God's. How God looks at us and says, there's Andy, that's my boy. I recognize him, I know him. I was there when he was born. I will be there at the very end of his life. We will go home together. Sorry, Andy, I needed to pick on you. People are like thinking I'm pick on Bill too much, which is, you know, true, but I, you know. Oh, yes, it is very, very much fun. You are precious, deeply valued. And that is also a way of saying that you're blessed. If you look at the way that in literature and in our kind of psychological reflections as a culture, as a world, as a society, precious and blessed are tied into each other. That when we recognize the absolute value, where did that value come from, right? Where does your value as a human being come from? I know you work hard. You've worked to build things up in your own life. You've worked to say no to some things that were bringing you down. I get that. But where does the strength and the hope and the purpose of all of that come from aside from God? Aside from the power of God to say, I created you for more, and here's how, and I'll be with you, and let us do this. Let us work through this together. Now, Kayla Craig, who is a writer, said that the Advent season reminds us that what some may see as discarded scraps, the maker of heaven and earth calls beautiful and blessed. That the idea of quilting is an American idea of conservatism. We got all this stuff. We don't want it to go to waste. What are we going to do with it? And so women, it's always the women who are the crafty ones, right? Women, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, come on, you know, there's some smart stuff going on. Recognize, and of course, a few men too, recognize that you can sew those things together, those scraps that are left over from seed bags and old dresses. And, you know, what do we do with them now? We use T-shirts, right? T-shirts and old men's ties, right? Who wears ties anymore? Oh, sorry, there's a few of you with ties, you know. We take these things that would seem to be discardable and re-understand them. Maybe break them down, maybe kind of look at potential and break them down, sew them together, and it becomes something usable. In fact, what happened is people recognize in the quilts that were coming, you know, partly out of the Appalachian Mountains and other places, those quilts were absolutely beautiful, that there was wisdom and skill in putting those together, and they started to listen to the stories that were told around those quilts. Now, quilts actually, in where I'm from, actually had a pretty storied background in that there would be people that would get together and work on the quilt, and boy, they would spill the tea, right? Have you heard about the preacher? You know, oh my gosh, have you heard that so-and-so and so-and-so saw Martha's car out in front of the preacher's house late in the night, right? And all kinds of other things, right? But also they started to tell histories actually inside of the quilts themselves. That the symbolic representation, like the symbols that are here, the ones that we have been using have for today, are kind of a reminder of that angel Gabriel. Can you see it? Can you see the head and the wings inside of these panels? Aren't these beautiful, by the way? And this is our Prayers and Squares ministry at work, right? Oh, wait till you see what happens next. The idea that we are scraps, that some might look at as discardable is anathema to God. It is wrong in the very eyes of God. And we see that in Mary, right? Mary, who was blessed, oh, favored one, oh, blessed one, was really a scrap from a rough place. You know, the early Jews who would have heard this story in its very first tellings would have heard that she was from the north. She was a young woman, girl, really. Not from noble birth, not from really kind of wealth or anything like that. She's just a young, poor peasant girl who finds herself pregnant. She's a scrap from a rough place. Early Jews would have heard that story and their ears would have burned, and probably their stomachs would have churned at the whole idea. Who? Why? She was a scrap from a scrappy place. The north was considered to be like not really fully Jewish, not really fully acceptable. Those are people that we don't really want to hang out with. But there she was, this ordinary girl from obscure Nazareth, and was not cloaked in power or prestige, but she was blanketed in belovedness. Think about that. Blanketed. The warmth of the community of scraps around her with belovedness. And being from that rough place, in spite of being blanketed with belovedness, it was not easy. It had to be very rough. And the story of Advent tells us that. Advent invites us to reflect on how we, like Mary, are invited to God's redemptive narrative. No matter how broken down we are, no matter how discardable we might seem to be, no matter how ordinary or small we might feel, for each of us has the potential to carry, each of us has, like Mary, the potential to carry God's love into a weary world, not because of what we have done, but because of what God sees in us. Mary is known in some parts as the Theotokos, the God-bearer. Mary's response is, how's this going to happen? Now, that's my translation. A little rough. Maybe I need to work on that a little bit. How will this be? And she kind of lays out, this doesn't make sense. And that's profoundly human. That is such an honest response, and admirable because of that. You mean, what? This is weird. I can't accept this, but it's true. And the angel says, it's true. In a world often drenched in pain, suffering, and injustice that seems to point in a completely different direction, it is a gift to remember that we are formed and made by a God who loves us and doesn't leave us and even moves in ways that might not make sense. God is able to gather those blessed scraps to form a quilt of purpose and change and healing and wholeness and restoration. That these little pieces that we might recognize, you might see yourself in one of those corners. This is from the Art Institute of Chicago. It's beautiful, isn't it? But it's redemptive. Do you recognize yourself there? How you might see those irregular parts, those parts that are marred by pain, you might see a little bit of a stain in some of these. I want you to know that you are a blessing, because the one for whom the blessings flow sees you, knows you, and knows the potential, and calls you by name, identifies you as that scrap known as Bill or Jim or Linda or Bert. The other thing to know about this is, because of this, because of the capacity to redeem you, you have the possibility of participating in how God is doing that throughout, right? A quilt is not really a quilt if it's one scrap. All of those pieces need to work together, for sure. But also, when it's together, when those pieces are drawn together, they can form something that can actually make the world a better place. It certainly did for my daughter as she grieved the loss of her grandparents. It certainly has done for me when a similar quilt came my way in my cardiac recovery. It certainly may come to you in a thousand different ways. It's hard to see in this image, but that quilt is up on a wall. The world is better because of you. The wall that's in front of is a broken out storefront. You can see the jagged glass around it. Sometimes in the midst of the most terrible places, like Nazareth or Jerusalem, are those wards in D.C. that you're terrified of? Or the places that we have felt the deepest breaks in our own life, in the presence of love? Now, normally in our time together, I give you homework at the end of our time. But for this season, what I would like to do is I would like to offer a blessing. So your homework is just to receive this blessing. Because you are blessed, I want you to know these words. I will recirculate this a little bit later for you. But as we come to our time to end, receive this blessing. You are a blessing, known and chosen and called for purpose. May you boldly live into truth, recognizing and cherishing your inherent worth, so that you may honor God's image in others. Trust in your belovedness as you enter into the redemptive work God has invited you into this Advent season. May it be so with God's help. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.